We're ready. Mm-hmm.
Let's do a little mic check again.
Check.
Tony sucks ass.
Wow. Why don't you tell me how you really feel?
Boom. Oh, did we start? Jesus. Subliminal messages.
Welcome to Cumtown.
So can they hear you when the music's going like this?
Yeah. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to BM Squared, where B movies are the best.
The motherfucking best, no matter what Ashton says.
Oh, stop.
I'm Brett.
I'm Abe.
I'm Tony.
I'm Ashlyn.
And this week we are. I think I just cut you off.
You're like,
I'm Ash, yeah. And I'm like, this week we got guests.
Douche.
Sorry, this is Ashlyn.
I'm Ash.
All right, and then I wait a beat.
I'm Ashford.
And then. Oh, this is Ashford.
Ashford.
I like to tell people that my real name is Bartholomew.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Would that be cool though?
I know. I like to tell
just
people.
Change it.
I like to tell people my real name's Anthony.
I hate it that I. But yeah, but your real name is Anthony.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
So this week we are joined by two guests.
What? Why didn't anybody tell me?
Oh, you're so.
I feel like I've heard that joke before.
Oh my God, that joke.
I hate sitting by Tony. You know, I like Tony better when he's across the table.
And you can just feel like you're in a norm.
You're not tempted to hit him.
Yeah.
So, guest, announce yourself.
I'm Stevie.
And I'm Justin.
And they are some very, very, very great best friends of ours.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's great to have them.
Yes. Yeah.
Welcome,
guys.
Finally.
Five of us have butt tattoos.
Yeah.
That's true.
We're going to have to get you on this bandwagon.
Yep. Well,
Stevie needs, what dinosaur would you pick? Because we all got dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Not sure, I'd have to think about it.
That's right. We had a lot of time to think about ours.
Yeah, we did. We were planning them for two years at least. Yeah. All right. So, we started doing this. Yeah, I got a little.
I'm sorry.
Brain fart.
Oh, did we watch a movie this week?
We watched a movie, but first, before we announce the movie, spoiler warning that we just started doing. There are going to be spoilers today, and a lot of them, so if that's a problem, just bail now and come hang out with us after you've watched it.
Yeah. Oh, don't watch it.
Or don't watch it and just listen.
Yeah.
Just know that you're going to know everything that happens in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
But
sometimes that works out for people like me because I have a bad memory.
Yeah.
And I forget everything I just heard, so.
But you'll remember if you listen to like a podcast talking about a movie.
No.
Well, you won't remember what they say about the movie.
Yeah.
But you'll remember like, oh, like I wanted to check that one out.
Yep.
That sounded cool.
I have a bunch of notes in my phone from podcasts. That I need to check out this movie, and I don't remember what any of them are about. I need to check out this movie.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have listened to this before we started recording, but well, here we go.
Here we go. All right, so today we're talking about the Rob Zombie movie, Three from Hell.
Yeah.
Woo! Abe, hey, give us a plot.
After barely surviving prison, the demented Firefly clan go on the run, unleashing a whole new wave of murder, madness, and
Mayor Dare.
May is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayhem, really good. We should watch that again.
And Three from Hell, it is written and directed by Rob Zombie, and it's starring Sherry Moon Zombie, because of fucking course.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It also stars Bill Moseley as Otis. He is reprising his role from the other two in this trilogy. This is the third in the trilogy. Side note, Bill Moseley's awesome in Boar.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. That movie was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I like the big guy.
We also have Richard Brake as Winslow Foxy Coltrane. He's new to this film series, but not new to Rob Zombie movies.
Well, I was seeing, like it said in the, I can't remember where I saw it on IMDb, but he's a collaborator. Like he's done stuff with Rob Zombie before, like written and stuff. They said fellow collaborator Richard Brake when after they were talking about how they replaced Sid Haig because he was ill and everything, and so he rewrote the script with collaborator Richard Brake.
Speaking of Sid Haig, he's kind of in this movie, reprising his role as Captain Spaulding from the other movies. And like I said, this is the third in the Firefly trilogy. And just to get everybody caught up on the trilogy, first there was A House of a Thousand Corpses in 2003, where we meet the Firefly family as they kill a bunch of kids on a road trip. Then in 2005, there was The Devil's Rejects, which seems to be everybody's in the fandom universe, everybody's favorite.
We had a Twitter poll, and that was number one by got all the votes.
How many votes were there?
Five.
500.
We had 500 votes.
Well, wait, you got to pause. You didn't pause on that one.
Oh, we had 500
votes. in The Devil's Rejects, most of the Firefly family is killed off from the first one. And then the remaining members go on the run, and that was Otis, Baby, and Captain Spaulding. And then that movie ends with those three in a massive firefight with the cops.
Amazing.
Amazing. And you kind of assume that everybody dies right there.
Yeah.
When we watched it back in 05.
With 20 shots each, they sure should have.
They sure should have. 20 apiece. Shots.
That's such a specific number for each one of them.
That's where we come in for Three from Hell. We pick up right when that happens. And then we get like a 10-minute news report that catches us up.
But we'll get there. But maybe they should have died.
I don't know how to... What?
Okay, how to segue moving that. On. Moving on.
What happened in this 10-minute news report that catches us up, they survived the shootout with the 20 shots apiece. It's very specific. 20 shots apiece.
20 shots.
From there, they survived that. They're arrested and they're put on trial. Some people protesting. I liked this part.
No, yeah.
Some people are protesting outside of their trials, protesting that they're innocent and shit like that. And they're doing the chants of
free the three.
Yeah, they free got a the three.
And everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a fandom. It's yeah. it's
That's
so
crazy.
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
The awkward girl that was like, yeah, Otis is kind of creepy, but I'd still date him.
Yeah, I'd still fuck him.
First of all, he's nasty. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
They have the rallying cry of the free the three outside the courthouse, but that doesn't matter because Otis and Baby, they get life in prison. And then Captain Spaulding, he gets executed by lethal injection. And here we get Sid Haig's one scene, yeah. like his actual yeah. scene.
He was not looking good.
No.
No, but he is he envelops Captain Spaulding. Like he can get in that role and just be creepy.
So creepy.
But at the same time take it back and be really goofy. And it's like, he's fucking amazing. Oh, he's very sad.
He's great in this movie.
Yes.
For the limited amount of time. But we'll get to there after we talk about the movie on why he's not in the whole movie. That's basically where we are. Otis's half-brother, Winslow Foxy Coltrane, he shows up when Otis is working on a chain gang and frees the motherfucker. They massacre everyone, plus Danny Trejo, who's back from Devil's Rejects.
Foreshadow.
Without Diamond Dallas Page.
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about
no
that.
No DDP.
He needed to be there with him. Yeah. That was a chain.
I didn't like him in Devil's Rejects, actually.
Danny Trejo or
DDP?
DDP. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Didn't
Just
like
so
him.
So everyone knows, Stevie kind of has a man crush on Danny Trejo.
I definitely
do. Really?
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
I thought you were going to say,
he's cute.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, man crush on Diamond Dallas Page. And I'm like, okay.
I like the tweet that's been circulating with him with someone stole Lady Gaga's dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, we got people out there looking for him. Yeah. Someone replied to that, we need to make this movie.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
That is fun.
No, I did something new with this podcast or this episode.
Yeah.
I decided to write down awkward lines of dialogue.
Oh, cool.
So with this scene that we're just talking about, there's one scene with they're interviewing Otis in solitary or in prison.
Yeah.
And he says, should I break down in tears and confess my sins to the fucking pussy of the virgin?
Oh.
So awkward.
So awkward.
Just cramming as many vulgar words. It makes no logical sense how he's like, what? Why the pussy? Why would you confess to the pussy specifically?
To the pussy.
And here with this massacre, back to the movie, with this massacre, they do like a news break. The way that they film this, they do like a news break, and then they show the massacre of the Chang Gang and the and everybody and the film crew and stuff like that.
This had a Natural Born Killers feel, and not in a good way.
In some parts, yeah.
I didn't like that movie. I just remember that I hated that fucking movie.
I liked that scene, but I just wish it wasn't done the found footage style. That's my biggest complaint with that scene. I think it's just so...
I wish Danny Trejo didn't die. That's my main
thing. Yeah.
But don't worry, he can come back. He always come back.
That's true.
I mean,
in Machete 3.
How are you going to kill Machete like that?
Machete in space, right?
Hopefully.
Supposed to be the third one.
Hopefully.
Ooh, I want to see Machete and Fast and Furious in space crossover.
Oh, that would be a sweet crossover. I love it. all right, so after this scene, it goes to Baby in prison now.
Not an actual baby.
No.
Prison, which would be
shut up, Tony.
No. It goes to Sherry Moon Zombie as Baby, and she's trying to get parole.
She's loony.
But she's more insane now, if that's possible.
Yeah. Yes.
And then one of her, D. Wallace from E.T., is one of her prison guards.
Mm-hmm. Is that E.T.'s mom?
Is that Greta?
Yeah, Greta.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
You don't like her?
No.
No?
Of course not. What are you talking about?
D. Wallace here as one of the prison guards. She tries to take Baby out after the parole. The parole goes bad for Baby. And then D. Wallace, takes her down to... get killed, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. Not just fucked up, but killed.
Well, they said that they were going to cripple her.
Yeah.
Cripple her and make her their bitch.
And then she can't dance. Baby's got to dance.
Right. Baby's got to dance.
You can't put Baby in a corner.
Nope. No one puts Baby in a corner.
Whoa, wait. Tony's face, did you see that? He was about to make that fucking joke.
You stole it. Now he's got all the grudge.
I hate you guys.
I steal all of the Dirty Dancing references. Sorry, Tony. You should know this.
I didn't
At least I had the time of my life.
Oh God! You started.
He'll get one in. He'll get one in. Mine was better. Always. No, I didn't like how they filmed the jump scene. I didn't like how it was very all just a bunch of close ups, really quick cuts.
Yeah.
And I wish it was more drawn out. That's, you could actually see her fuck some. I mean, I guess it doesn't make sense because she's small and.
That's one of the complaints about this entire movie. The action made no sense.
No, yeah, I mean the action. It seems. I don't know.
That scene
didn't like it.
Made me uncomfortable.
Did it?
It just because it jumps so much and then there's blood, blood, jump, blood, blood.
She also knew that she was the one destroying them.
Yeah.
Oh,
you knew it. Yeah. She can't die. It's
That's why I didn't
baby.
Like, I didn't
what are you talking about?
How they showed it like that because we all know what's happening.
Yeah.
So why not just fucking
because
show it?
Because they couldn't explain how she killed them
That's
being
true.
All chained up.
That's true. And even had time to carve her name into the forehead a little bit.
It probably. They probably did try to film it, but they filmed it, but then they were like, oh my God, this is just too ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're trying to snap
cut away, cut away.
Like a gorilla with her hands stuck to the ground.
She could take on the fat person, though.
Yeah. Well,
but,
fat people are easy to take down.
Well,
I should know.
Okay. I just meant she's quick. She's small.
I
like
go
a
down easy,
rabbit.
Dude.
But the other one probably wouldn't have made much sense.
And then from there, we switch over to... the warden of Baby's prison, along with the warden's wife and a couple of their friends, are having a dinner party, and they get kidnapped.
Okay, whoa. I got some stuff to say. So
by Otis and the brother.
Like,
all right,
was this a mixed gender prison? Because it seemed like...
There was different wings.
Because I didn't thought they would isn't it normally separate? Or my, I don't
well, they have
know.
Separate wings
now,
in one prison, though.
This was also back in the day.
70s.
Back in
the
80s.
Yeah.
80s,
the
yeah.
70s, yeah. 80s. That's...
Because it was 10 years after 88.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, yeah.
Okay. So, Otis, like I said, Otis and the Foxy Coltrane, the half-brother, they take the warden. And their plan is for the warden to sneak Baby out of the prison, or Otis is going to kill them all.
Such a stupid...
And the Howard guy is the clown.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, Clint Howard.
But
yeah.
Why would that clown know?
Yeah.
Who ordered the clown?
Yeah, they know that the clown was supposed to be there.
Did they?
Who did order the clown?
I was like...
Yeah.
Nobody was surprised the clown showed up, but who ordered it and
maybe
why?
It was just fan service to put a clown in it since Spalding wasn't there.
That's what I was
then
guessing.
You have to.
But why? It made no logical sense.
It doesn't.
I just wanted to know.
And he was cringy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's actually one of my notes is I feel like he was, even if it wasn't being held up, I feel like his act would have been just as awkward.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like that's how every one of his little things goes.
Yeah, it would like
it's
late
just
at
supposed
night
to be
for
awkward.
A clown.
Yeah.
Made no sense.
Yep, that was weird.
But I think there's a way. But continue.
With the clown, though, Clint Howard, he's supposed to. Otis tells him when he arrives at the dinner party, mm-hmm. Otis tells him that he's got to make them laugh, or mm-hmm. otherwise he's going to kill them. He does not make them laugh.
He's a liar, though.
Technically, he did make them laugh.
Otis.
He's a liar.
Otis, he's about to shoot him, and then the Clint Howard.
Mr. Baggy Britches.
Pisses his pants. That makes him laugh. So then he's like, oh, I can't kill him anyway. And then he kills him anyways. Yeah. Well, it's Otis, man.
Yeah, but how are you going to just, why even say it?
No,
just be like, I'm going to kill you either way, but try to make me laugh.
Yeah, but then if somebody told you that, though, you're not going to do what they want you to do. You're
just
going to be like, I'm gonna die anyways.
Much faster.
Yeah,
get him out of the way.
But Otis likes fucking with people.
Yeah.
Otis is a piece of shit.
Otis, yeah, agreed.
He takes pride in his piece of shit.
I hate him.
Yeah, yeah. He's always.
It doesn't make sense. I just don't get it.
He's always saying he's out here doing Satan's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's Satan's business.
Still,
see, that's what makes it.
Just kill him.
That's what makes it more punishing for the victim is they think, oh, I made him laugh. Great. And then he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to kill you anyway.
Everybody should know. That they'll never get out of it. They will never let anyone go.
Yeah, but a lot of times they don't actually know
they've
who they're dealing with.
They've been profiled. They've been on the news for how many years?
But at the same time,
they should know.
At the same time, if you were in this situation and you just assumed, you wouldn't automatically assume you're not getting out of it.
Oh, 100%.
No, you wouldn't.
100%. Because I'd be like, I'm probably going to die, so I'm about to leave. Like, I'd be out. And they would be chasing me, trying to gut me.
I think no matter what, if you're in this situation, you're going to hold on to any hope you can get.
Yeah, I would agree.
100%.
I feel like it too.
I would try to join
them.
I'm out. I mean, no. I think you would still try to get out by any means possible.
I'm getting out.
But it's not like you're just going to turn around and try running at that point.
But
you're going to wait for the right moment.
I also know that there's no way I can just sweet talk them.
I wouldn't be able, like,
no.
It's pretty obvious that like they're probably not going to let you die.
I know they're not going to let me live, but I'm still going to hold on to any hope that's possible.
But you know what that hope is? Is running out the door and seeing if you can outrun
trying
them.
Trying to save yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to wait for the
moment. Outrun their bullets, though. You gotta outrun their bullets, man.
Dude, it's called zigzagging.
Zigzagging.
The one girl, the wife of one of them, tried to outrun him.
Yeah, she tries. Almost makes
it.
And
that old lady.
Yeah.
Yep.
That old lady.
Is the witness. But we'll get to that. The warden follows their commands and sneaks baby out, even letting her kill D. Wallace in the process.
He did a lot of coke, though.
Yeah. Dude.
He got messed up.
Yep. He goes to work that morning and just sits down at his desk and just dumps a big bag of coke on there and just starts doing it all. It's
cuts
like,
it up into three lines with his fingers and just goes to town.
That's the most OG shit I've ever seen in my life. He just makes lines. Boom.
No. That's not.
Love it.
Okay. The best coke I've seen is Mayhem. Like the Mayhem boss.
Oh, with the fistful?
Yeah. He just throws a fistful at his face.
Okay.
Okay. That's how you piggy it.
But
then 2 seconds later, he throws another handful at Glenn.
Although honorable mention, London with Jason Statham.
Oh, where they just do coke in the bathroom for two hours. Yep. That's the movie.
Yes.
I'm just saying, the way he cut lines, never seen that before in my life. Love it. It was fantastic.
Don't waste time.
Just use our fingers.
Yeah, and just stick your face in it.
And then the
his
whole
nose
like
was covered. But yeah, the whole long.
And then the whole baby like trying to mess up with this whole guard.
Yep. D. Wallace.
Yeah.
So the warden lets baby kill D. Wallace.
Which brings us to our second line of awkward dialogue.
Ooh.
Don't fuck with a scorpion, bitch.
Yeah. Yep.
Why the scorpion?
And so
random.
She's supposed to be like the frog or the turtle. The turtle and the scorpion.
If that's what, I don't know what Rob Zombie was going for.
Is that an analogy?
Okay.
That's an old proverb.
Okay.
Huh.
But, and then they don't even show them escaping, which I felt cheap.
Because, again, there was no logical way to explain how they would get out of there.
Yeah. Exactly, but I wanted.
Hey, is that baby? No, she's wearing a guard uniform. That can't be her.
I hated how they cheated us on that.
Yeah, that long flowing hair. No, it's fine.
You skipped over it. One of my favorite scenes, which I love, and I don't fully understand the logic of it, but when she's like fucking tripping out in the cell, and she watches the ballet dance. I love that.
It's like she's watching. Yeah, she's watching like a schizophrenic episode,
right? After talking about the kitty situation to the guard earlier.
Yep. Showing how crazy she's getting. And she's getting crazy.
I just figured that's solitary, though.
Even the brother mentioned how Otis mentioned how crazy she was getting.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So somehow, Baby and the Warden get back to the White House.
It has to be magic.
They teleport.
The devil, man. The devil. He was helping them out.
No, because they're rejected from the devil.
That's true.
Baby and Otis now are reunited. And to celebrate, they kill everybody.
I have such a fucking problem with this part of the movie.
Because fucking duh, they're going to kill everybody.
I agree with you there. I have such a problem with this part. Why would the warden even do it? He knows. He knows.
Because his wife is there.
Yeah, but he knows they're all going to get killed anyways.
So why didn't he just...
So he could have easily gotten SWAT, gotten police, right? Yes. Because then they would be too bogged down to try to kill everyone right away.
Well, they'll kill everybody, but they'll also get them in the end.
Yeah.
He was cocoa brained.
He wasn't thinking logically.
That's true, though. He was coke the fuck out.
It's true, but it just doesn't make any sense.
He was a coward to me.
Yeah.
He didn't try hard enough at all.
There's just no way that he would do that in real life.
Or when you're coming back in the house, have a gun with you this time.
He did. Hello. He did have a gun with him.
Oh, I guess.
And then he missed and shot his fucking wife.
That's true. they kill everybody there, including the girl that gets out of the house, like we said.
Yep.
And she's naked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's naked. She's not naked. Just
there has to be a naked. Yeah.
She's naked.
Yeah, completely naked.
Has there been a naked girl in every one of them?
Full naked.
Otis is always cuddling with the naked girls. After he's normally dead. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And while I was watching it this time, this is what I was thinking during this scene. Mm-hmm. Rob Zombie got paid that day just to go to work.
Yep.
And watch a naked chick get chased around with a knife by his wife. Yeah. He got paid to do that that day. That's a weird day.
So did that grandma that was watching the whole thing.
Yeah. And there's the witness, the grandma. Oh my, I liked that though, because after Baby murders the fuck out of the chick, she just waves.
And
the grandma's just like, hi, waving back.
That was my favorite death in this whole movie. That was amazing.
Was the naked girl?
Oh yeah, the way she was like, I don't know, it was just so carnal, the way she was stabbing her and everything. It was just,
oh yeah.
They didn't
hold
back in that scene.
So there is the old lady witness, so they have to hit the road. And then later that night, they stop at a rundown motel. I thought you were going to say something. I heard you laugh.
No.
Oh, that was you.
Wait, because you said rundown, and boy, was it rundown.
I mean, I feel like this movie should continuously should go from one location to the next for no reason.
Yeah.
There is a reason, though.
They're on the run.
And they got to sleep.
Yeah. Otis even says he's really tired.
Even though they don't sleep, they go and party.
He can't keep his eyeballs. That's what he says.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Weird.
I can't keep my eyeballs open. Otis, and here Otis is starting to see even more how unstable Baby has gotten from the 10 years in prison. It's really taken its toll on her. And you can tell at this point. Well, he can tell at this point. His eyeballs hurt Otis's, so they stop. Otis and Foxy, they pass the time playing games, hanging out, doing their thing. Baby, though, she's bored as fuck, and she heads out and kills a dude at a vending machine.
Yep.
After the dude buys her a grape soda.
Yep.
Yeah, kills the fuck out of him.
Leaves her name there and everything.
Into his forehead.
Yeah, grape into it. Yeah, and then on the machine writes Baby was here and shit like that. So they have to get the fuck out again.
And there's another awesome line or bit of awkward dialogue. I like
these awkward dialogues you're throwing in there. It's good.
The whole "let's make porn" speech, that whole spiel.
Yeah,
that was talking so about weird.
Dogs watching them fucking
the dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
so weird.
they hit the road, and this time they wind up in Mexico and they get settled into a motel, but the owner recognizes them.
Carlos.
Amazing.
I loved Carlos. Yes.
Carlos was
the way he
awesome.
Talks is awesome.
Yes, 100%.
I just don't know, maybe.
So fast and strung together. Oh, it was epic.
I need a friend that talks like this. One of you motherfuckers has to start talking like this now.
Let's just go find someone who talks like that.
No, I don't want any more friends. You guys are all I need.
Yeah,
it was like a weird mix of a Mexican Boomhauer.
Yeah.
But you can totally understand everything he said.
Yeah, I like
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
I have to say that this part of the movie, when they hit Mexico, Love it.
Really?
Love it. Okay. Everything okay. about it, yeah. love it.
Okay.
No complaints. That, anyway, go ahead.
I mean, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even going to fight you on it.
Yeah.
Tony looks like he's about to fight John.
Oh, but he's fight.
But that's because he's got 6 pages.
But he's got 6 pages to read here a little bit. So, so yeah. At this point, the owner of the motel that recognized them, he calls up Danny Trejo's son, Aquarius. I like his name.
Mm-hmm. So intimidating.
So Aquarius. Aquarius.
I mean, I am an Aquarius.
From what? Yeah. Satan's devils or what?
Yeah, like yeah, it's like Satan's something
some
or
Satan's
yeah.
disciples or yeah. some. Hard ass.
I'm Aquarius from Satan's disciples.
I'm gonna Google it.
But yeah, he like you're saying, he happens to be the leader of the local gang, the whatever the word the name is.
I think it's called El Gango.
El Gango. We're El Badasses, though. So yeah, Otis and Foxy that night they shack up with some prostitutes.
With the grossest tits ever.
Which,
yes.
The worst plastic surgery
I've ever seen.
It was so weird.
Which, another awkward line of dialogue. Mm-hmm. If you like them big old jugs and them big old swampy asses, then we got
that one
the
made
right
me laugh.
That was crazy.
Swampy asses.
Swampy asses. If you hear somebody described as
that's
swampy
disgusting.
Ass.
Yeah, you're not getting a boner.
I'm not going to hook him.
Otis's.
No matter how hot he is, I'm not going to fuck him. So while Otis and Foxy are shacking up with these prostitutes, Baby's out winning knife throwing contests and shit. That's cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
yep. loved
it was
it.
Awesome.
I loved that scene.
She
loved
showed
it.
Them.
Yeah.
Baby power. And then from there, we have to take a break from the movie because Rob Zombie's got to slip in a music video.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
That's exactly what I thought too.
Every single movie.
All right, break from this from the story. Let's just watch the music.
Let's go back to my roots real quick.
Yeah.
Have everyone dancing.
When we come back to the movie, everybody's waking up. It's the morning. Everybody's waking up. They're getting blowjobs and they're smoking joints with midgets.
The way it should be.
Oh, I loved him
Sebastian.
So much.
He was
very heroic.
He was so heroic, and he was so cute, and I could totally see him and Baby just hit
me
it off.
Me too. I was so sad that they
could have just been lovers, man.
But like she points out, though.
It's more of like a brother.
Yeah. It's more of a brother, because he reminds
what
her.
What happened to Tiny? I can't remember.
He walked, sacrificed himself at Devil's.
At the end of Devil's Rejects, he gets the three of them out, and then for some reason walks back into the burning house.
He died in real life too.
Okay,
so they couldn't bring him back.
And they said they were gonna come back for him.
Yep.
Yeah. And then
he wasn't gonna let him. He was like, fuck it.
Fuck it. I like Tiny.
Tiny was fucking great.
Yeah.
They were cute.
Because he was in both of the other two. I really liked him in House of a Thousand Corpses.
And that part where he's eating the cereals, the grossest things in history.
Eating it so awkwardly, like he's like just licking the spoon, basically. Not putting it in your mouth.
That's when they notice that Aquarius is pulling up. Well, Baby notices that Aquarius is pulling up, and they are bringing out 3 coffins, which I thought was awesome.
Yep.
You're rolling up to a fight with coffins.
Yeah.
That's some badass shit.
Yeah.
That's like making it known that you are the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, no, see, it's even better because they didn't roll up with them. The hotel owner brought him with him.
Rolled up with it.
Yeah.
And so he was like, you're showing up with coffins already there for you. It's even more badass, in my opinion.
That's true.
It's like, we're so badass, they have our shit ready.
Yeah. From now on, though, I don't get into a lot of fights, or any. But if I ever get into a fight, I'm going to have a coffin before we get into that fight.
Stop.
Sorry, motherfuckers.
Also, the gang, Aquarius's gang, is the Black Satan's gang.
Oh, the Black Satan's.
Yeah.
Black Satan's. Okay. Good to know. Aquarius's gang, the Black Satans, they attack. All hell breaks loose at this
point.
Pretty much. Yep. My favorite part of this all hell breaking loose right
I
here,
hope
though.
It's the same as mine.
Baby.
Is it Baby?
Okay.
Walking around with that bow
and
arrow.
Yeah.
Just shoot motherfuckers.
Amazing.
That was the best.
She rocked that headdress.
Yeah.
Like the rest of it.
My favorite death, though, was the lady with the weird boobs.
Yes, me. She just got fucked up. She was annoying to me.
She
anyway.
Was so annoying. And her boots, she looked like she taped them up. I don't know. But, and then just bullets.
No, it looks like basically like they didn't proportion it to her body. And they're just like, they put these big old watermelons
balls.
Just straight on. Mm-hmm. And just like, let's just drape some skin over here.
Yeah.
And
it was weird.
Oh, shit. At this point, Foxy, he comes and saves Otis, and shoots some motherfuckers, and then Foxy and Baby, they all get back together, the three of them, but Foxy and Baby, they are taken prisoner by Aquarius. No. Yeah, they are.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Okay, so first of all, we need to back up real quick.
Sure.
Little Sebastian tells Baby to hide, and then he's going to go warn her brother. Like, he's hero. Such a sweetheart. Yeah. And you know what? They could have totally fallen in love. I'm just saying.
I feel the same
way. For sure. You know, maybe she could have. Yeah.
I don't picture that. Baby being in a committed relationship with anybody.
They didn't have That's to probably be committed. True. It just could have been a relationship.
A duo of sorts.
And you have to be just as crazy as Baby to be with Baby.
Which Sebastian kind of is. And she said that he's, like, kind of beautiful because that's how she felt her brother was. So, just saying.
And then we have another awkward line of dialogue.
To me, Abe.
So Otis and Carlos, the hotel owner, are all they're sitting in the car, and Otis found out that he betrayed him. He said, "The rat sure can squeak. Squeak me a story, rat."
Yeah, when they are taken, that's when like you said. Otis catches up with that motel owner. Says some fucking crazy rat lines, like you were saying.
I feel bad for him.
And then just plows him with that gun, dude.
Yeah.
She just lets into him in that little car.
He got shot more times than the whole Devil's Rejects combined at the end.
So that combined, that'd be 60
bullets.
Oh, shit.
I thought he was cute, and I felt bad for
him. That guy.
I
forgot to mention, I felt thrown off by the fact that he said he wanted to get out of Mexico and stay out of Mexico for good. $10,000 is all he needs. That's all he needed.
That's all you need.
What? Well, dude, shoot for the fucking moon.
I mean, is it $10,000, $1,980?
I mean, he's like Dr. Evil in Austin Powers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's not enough?
Asking for $1 million instead of $1
billion.
That's Aquarius. He uses Baby and Foxy to draw Otis out into the open. Otis ends up coming out after Aquarius shoots Foxy in the shoulder. Otis comes out and then he has a machete fight with one of Aquarius's goons.
And then
a good machete fight.
The goon does the stupidest thing anyone's ever done in this whole movie.
Oh God!
He licks Otis's blood off the machete. Otis of all people.
Otis.
I mean, don't lick.
He was
blood.
Dead after that moment anyway.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, what does Otis have?
Everything.
He's a raper. He'd be licking people's blood and stuff.
Yeah. Fucking prostitute. So he's getting everything.
Yeah.
Getting everything.
He stores his gun in his underwear right next to his dick and hanging out the bottom.
I bet he had COVID before. It was cool.
He created COVID.
I do. It also going back when he's just in those tidy whiteys for that gunfight.
Yeah,
I love
every one of these movies except for House. I think he was in his tidy whiteys.
Yeah,
at least at one point.
I feel like he's in his tidy whiteys.
He had to be in
somewhere.
I can't remember.
While Otis is having the machete fight. The midget, or Sebastian, sorry.
Sebastian.
I'm not being politically correct.
It's Sebastian.
Sebastian, the midget.
He's so cute.
I know.
And his little eye patch.
I want to see him wide on. I want to see Sebastian wide on Sebastian from Parks and Rec.
It sucks because I even asked him.
Like the pony, Tony?
God, yes. Stop. Sebastian on Sebastian.
I asked Abe, and I was like, because he saw this before I watched it, and I was like, does he live? And he was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he lives.
Nope. Abe lied to you?
I was pissed.
Dude, it's been a while. I forget movies.
Oh, you had seen this movie already?
I have, yes.
Oh, cool. I had not seen it before I watched it.
Oh, really?
I was pissed.
I had to also. Sebastian, he sneaks up and frees Baby and Foxy at this point, and this distracts Aquarius, and Otis is able to win his death fight.
And then
they overpower Aquarius, but Sebastian, the midget, is shot to death here.
Yep.
And that's a sad moment.
It was so brutal for him. He was so little.
Yep.
I just want to snuggle him.
Would you though?
Yeah.
Like for realies?
Yeah, for reals. Okay. I'd tell him like put your hair over your eye because it was always over one eye.
Yeah, she likes whole hair though, so her way. I know.
And I'll snuggle him. I love him. He's cute.
So yeah, they get the upper hand with Aquarius, and they burn the fuck out of him.
Yas.
I like what Otis here does, by the way.
Yep.
Does here.
I know exactly what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, like he wants to see Aquarius break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I thought that was awesome. And, then like both Baby and the half-brother, the foxy guy, they're both like, oh, is that it? Oh, what about that one? No, that's not it. Oh, what about that?
And then once they saw it, they knew exactly what it was.
And Otis is like, yep, that's it. And then they burn the fuck out of him.
It's actually one of the best written interactions in this whole fucking movie. Yeah. That, and then I also liked earlier when Otis and his half-brother, they kill that couple, and they're talking about getting skull in the eye.
Yeah.
I like that interaction a little bit, too.
He's like, see?
Yeah.
But no, that... What a problem. That little interaction right there was fucking amazing.
Yep, that's true. And really, a lot of the interactions in this movie, the interactions that I like most in this movie is between the two of them.
Yeah.
Is between the foxy guy, the half-brother, mm-hmm. and Otis.
Yeah.
They had a good repertoire or whatever. Yeah. Yep. They burn the fuck out of Aquarius, and then they walk off.
Which, they do this every movie, and it pisses me off.
What's that?
There's always a point in the movie where one of the people is tied up, and they say, fuck you to Otis. And he's like, that's what they all say. It's like, yet in Devil's Rejects, when in this one, when he's getting tortured, he says, fuck you. So you're giving him shit for doing the same thing you do when you're getting beat the fuck out of.
Yeah.
That's everyone's reaction. If you're getting tortured, you're going to say, fuck you.
You're going to plead and beg for your life. And then you're going to get defiant.
You know what? Fuck you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, so they walk off, and then that takes us to the credits. That takes us to the end of the movie.
Which
then,
I waited to see if the cops were going to gun him down again.
Yeah. Was there anything after the credits? I didn't fast
forward. We waited.
No,
we waited.
No, it's just that van, right? Just like from the back. It's
the
van driving, and then the credits rolling.
Gotcha.
Yeah, some pictures and shit.
I love that it's so open.
What is so
they're
open?
They're kind of free.
The ending.
Yeah.
Oh. They're like free balls.
Yeah.
Is he going to make more?
I don't know.
Like,
don't
it
know.
Could be open for that. I feel like to make my own little thing in my mind. One,
I mean, no, it's a way.
There is.
There's always a way.
I feel like the success of this one was really a lot lower.
Yeah,
but do you really think that Rob Zombie cares about the success of them? Like, I feel like they do it to do it for fun. Mm-hmm. Like what we do.
That's
like,
true.
And it sucked not having Spalding, but like I really like that actor.
No,
that new guy.
The one that's in 31.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's real good in 31.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, almost like he could have been the same actor. Like, and if the Rob Zombie universe was a same universe. Like,
that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Had the same character.
Yeah, that's what I would have liked.
Because that would have made complete sense.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's twisted fucking that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Just had a Rob Zombie universe. Mm-hmm. Well, without Michael Myers of the Halloween movies, because, you know,
copyright. Own universe.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the end of the movie. And right now, we're going to take a break. Did you have something to say?
I did.
About the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I actually did want to say that I was talking to Abe about it yesterday when we watched it, and I liked that, like, even though I like Captain Spaulding and everything, he was too sane for Otis and Baby. Like, he's still batshit crazy, but he's more sane and more grounded, and I like that it was just the chaos too.
Yeah.
Going out and doing their own thing, because it made the movie, like, funner to me, I think.
Okay. I can see what you mean.
Yeah.
More like improvising on what they're doing.
Oh, man, you're not going to like what
Like, let's go to Mexico, okay. And then the half-brother, he's so like, okay, like, let's do it. He's just as crazy.
Oh, yeah, the half-brother.
Yeah.
Foxy,
he's
down.
Fucking nuts.
He's down for anything.
Yeah, like, he's ride or die.
Yeah, he wants to prove how badass he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that, because it was just chaos. Wherever they're going to go, chaos, and I'm excited for it, and I hope they make more.
But yeah, so that takes us to the end. And now, before we go on, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to hear from our podcast family, the Prescribed Films Podcast Network.
Woot, woot.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks, thepfpn.com.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. And now we're going to go to a new segment, new for this. I don't know if it's going to be a recurring segment. We'll see how this one goes.
Only when I need to.
This podcast segment.
This podcast segment. This is how Tony would fix this movie.
Okay, guys.
Can I like jump in and be like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, well, yeah.
Okay. But,
how about hold off and let him say what he wants to. Okay. And then we'll pick apart, like, what the fuck he said.
Yay, nay. Yep. Okay.
Okay, so I got a lot to say here.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. So, the main problem that I don't like to see the Kiltles win, like, as much as they have. Like, it's so predictable. Like, every single movie, like, oh, this is going to be happen. And I think that's the biggest flaw in the story. There was nothing redeemable, but, so there's a predictable formula. But I was thinking of a way to tell the story that would make more sense.
Okay.
Okay, so what if Captain Spaulding wasn't, if the guy was going to not be in there, why make it? Because obviously he was not in good health.
Yeah.
So why make this movie, you know? Because it went from 2005 to 2019. They had plenty of opportunity to make this movie.
It's true.
So, what I suggest is we have a house of 1,000 culprits and then devil rejects. You know, they were like completely different, you know, genres itch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, genre itch. No, they're not even meant to do that. So, what if, you know, the critic guy and the devil rejects, you know, he came in and he described that they all had a Marx Brothers connection. And that's what I think this movie lacked. So, what if Rob Zombie went off the rails and made a complete slapstick comedy horror movie with this genre?
Oh, and for this movie, it was just a slapstick comedy?
Yeah, okay. As a horror film, because of the Marx Brothers. Okay? So, I lost my place. So, and then here's how we set up Captain Spaulding Lives. Ideally, not wait 14 years in between. But then we bring in a new Wydell, because of the detectives, like Wydell, you know, his brother. Yep. But this time, he's on the wrong side of the law. He's a gang member. So we had a new Wydell brother, but he's a leader of a gang.
Okay.
Now, and just for clarification, there was each House of 1,000 Corpses, the sheriff, right? The sheriff's, he was the Wydell.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, the main
detective.
The main detective that's hunting them is the brother of the guy from the third one.
Yes.
Or from the first one.
Yes. Yep. So I say, bring in a new one,
have
that same connection, but he's in, you know, he's on the wrong side of the law, and now he's going to take care of business that way.
Yeah.
And in this movie, they don't get caught. There's no clunky false act of them breaking out of prison, because it was clunky. Mm-hmm. And instead, we end up in Mexico 10 years later, okay? Because that's where I like to pick up. Captain Spaulding has a Spanish taco commercial, because in every one, he has a different commercial. So, of course, he's going to have something, a business, though. And they make a new House of 1,000 Corpus.
Yep. And if you're there in Mexico, you get a taco commercial.
Yep.
I like it.
Okay. So, and then I think the main problem with this one, we don't follow them three, okay? Because I think that's the main issue in this. They're good characters, but I don't want to see a movie about this. I want to see the people, you know, following this, and then they're trying to kill them, because I think we don't have too much of a focus on them.
That's true. In the Devil's Rejects, they have the Wydell character there the whole time to be that protagonist, or whatever. And then the three of them are the antagonists. This one, you only have antagonists.
True. And then it would not be the main focus. And then we follow the criminal Wydell on his revenge, you know, thing, but still having a slapstick comedy. And then it ends with, in a shootout that lasts 15 to 20 minutes of solid, nonstop action.
Good Lord.
With music from the time of the 80s, like Freebold, but we should up that and shit nonstop violence for
15 to 20 minutes?
Yes, I think it would work.
I'd like 15 to 20 minutes. Three to four songs
back to back, and that's how we end it. Epic violence.
Is the 15 to 20 minutes in slow-mo?
No, well, some of
not
it.
Not
all
of it.
Not all of it.
Maybe some of it's probably animated, too.
And then it'll be like some slapstick comedy thing. And then, you know, 3 to 4 songs back to back to back, epic violence, like the Freebird sequence.
And also they can take another break for another Rob Zombie music video. Yeah. That'd be tight.
And then, this is where we get them. Have them all three die with some ambiguity. And then...
So basically, like, on the second one, because they, like, yeah. At the second one, you assume that they die when you walk out of that theater.
But we make sure that they know they're dead, because we go to hell, and then they kill the devil.
Oh, that'd be tight, man! Kill the devil at the end?
And then that's how you fix this movie.
Okay. I like certain things in your idea.
Same.
I love the slapstick comedy element.
Yeah, my biggest thing that I would love is, since like he did a different genre for each one of these movies, it would have only made sense to switch this genre up a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have that. It does have that Devil's Rejects feel to it.
Oh no, yeah,
and mixed with what's that Tarantino and the vampire?
Dusk
to Dawn.
Dusk to Dawn. Yeah. I don't know if it's just a whorehouse or what, but like.
So that's my How Town Would Fix segment.
Nice. Boom. So did that piss you off, Ashlyn?
Didn't piss me off. I don't agree with a lot of it.
No,
I think
some of it's cool.
I think overall, like, House of a Thousand Corpses is such a different movie from the other two.
Yeah.
That, like, in a way. It should have been two different.
Yeah.
It should have been, if there's going to be a trilogy of the Firefly, that should have been its own thing. And then, like, House of a Thousand Corpses, I don't know, man. I wish they would have made more like that.
Yeah. Oddly enough, it seemed more like Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses melded well together. And then this one came out. Now it makes House of a Thousand Corpses feel like a complete outcast.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't belong anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted the Wydell connection to make it. Connect.
I love that idea, and having him be a gang member is dope.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too.
Yeah, that would have been great. Fantastic.
Yep.
But
they didn't.
And keep in mind, I only worked this last night, so I didn't have time to polish it.
You did good for...
That
was cool. That was cool, Tim.
Last minute pitch.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Are we ready for ratings?
No,
we have to kill count.
Well, first off, guys, don't forget trivias.
Trivias.
Yep. Anybody bring any cool trivias to the...
I got an ironic one.
Hell yeah.
Which, on IMDb, 73 people out of 100 found this interesting.
Okay.
This is part of a trilogy of House of a Thousand Corpses.
What?
That's part of the fucking trivia.
That's crazy.
No way.
That pissed me off. I read that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
We're just wasting trivia.
Why didn't we bring this up at the beginning? It's a trilogy.
Oh, jeez. That's weird. Yeah.
Other than that, the only other thing I had was basically, and I heard this more on the podcast I listened to, was basically they had the whole movie ready to go. It was a couple of days before filming, and they basically realized Sid Haig wasn't going to be able to film this movie. He was too weak. So
Rob Zombie went to like go see him or something like that, and he just said he was just
He was missing dress rehearsals and everything like that. Yep. So.
It was real sad.
He basically had to rewrite the whole script with a different person replacing him.
Yep.
And they only got that because they already paid they wanted to shut the whole Lionsgate said kill the whole thing, we're done. And then apparently this was like on a Tuesday or something. He's like, well, we already paid everybody through Friday, so let me have till Friday. He's like, well, we're not going to use any of it. So he rewrote the entire script, took it back to him, and they bought it
in 3 fucking days. Rewrote the script.
Which makes me wonder, I want to know what the original fucking script was.
Oh, I know, because I want to read it.
We need a zombie cut on HBO Max.
Yeah, I need a zombie cut. What if it's the one
Even
I pitched?
Even if it's storyboards, I don't give a shit. I want to know what the original...
Or just the script. That'd be cool. Like, leak the script,
Yeah, I mean,
Rob Zombie.
Did anybody look to see the script that's online?
I didn't. Yeah, maybe he already did leak it.
He's like, I'm already ahead of you guys.
If he did, though, if I found that, I'd read the fuck out of it.
Oh, no, for sure. I want to know what that original story was.
I want to know what it says. I do have, I listened to a couple podcasts with Rob Zombie as a guest. One of them was the Joe Rogan episode that he's on, episode 1353. I even wrote that part down, just in case anybody wants to go back and look at it or something.
I started to, but it was on YouTube, and I was listening to it at work, and I didn't want to leave my phone on the whole fucking time.
Yeah. You ain't got Spotify?
No.
Dude, get Spotify.
Get Spotify.
Jeez. Get Spotify.
That's where I listen to it. first off, it's not really anything about this movie. any of the things that I wrote down. But for about 3 minutes of the podcast, Joe Rogan and Rob Zombie talk about Napoleon Dynamite, the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I just had to write that down because it was so weird. Huh. Like, I didn't expect, like, Rob Zombie goes on there, and you think that, like, oh,
it's gonna all going to be old school horror.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, old school horror and shit like that. But no, they end up talking about Napoleon Dynamite for, like, 3 minutes, and they're both like, oh, my God, at the time, that movie was so fucking good. But then this was the thing that I really liked. On there, he talks about back in high school, him and his friends, they filmed a sequel to Escape from New York.
Nice. Oh,
I want to see that. That'd be fun as fucks. But yeah, he did that in high school, and then he talks, after he says that, he talks about how strange it was 20 years after he'd made the Escape from New York sequel. With his buddies. 20 years later, he remade Halloween for Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
The movie Halloween, which was also a John Carpenter movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So he just thought that was very, very strange.
It shows that dreams can come true.
Dreams can come true.
Might not be exactly what you thought, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to be Escape from New York. I want to... Where did he keep... I want to know if he kept the setting for the sequel to Escape from New York... If he kept it in New York, or if he switched it to another city, like the actual sequel.
What if he changed it to LA? That would be weird.
Yeah, that'd be weird. Like,
someone got a hold of it and they called just it. Cannibalized it.
Like, we found this like indie movie, you know, like, you know, this made movie
by someone, Mr. Zombie.
Yeah.
Side note.
Pretty good idea.
Side note: has everybody seen Escape from LA, the second one?
Yes, I loved it.
Did you guys like that?
I don't remember it. I loved it. As a kid.
It doesn't seem like many people like it. I love it.
Which one did
I
we watch it. For the old podcast?
New York.
The original? Yep. Okay. Yep. That's the one I've seen.
So, yeah.
Great fucking movie. Yeah. Too, New York.
Yeah. In LA, I love that, like, there's a surfing scene, there's a basketball scene. I love it all.
That Bruce Campbell cameo in the second one. Yeah. It's pretty fucking tight. Then Rob Zombie's career. And just to let you guys know, well, you guys already know this, but the listeners, this past week I watched all of Rob Zombie's filmography and listened to all of his CDs and White Zombie CDs. And Jesus Christ, I just straight had, that's basically all I did, was just Rob Zombie. All week.
Getting into the Rob Zombie head.
Yeah. I figured, like, I wasn't going to do this because a couple weeks ago, like, I spent, like for, like, a week and a half, like, I was guesting on another podcast where you watch multiple movies, AOTKP, Attack and Killer Podcast. So I did that, and then... like basically for that like whole week and a half of that, it was just like podcast and movies for podcast, because we also did this one,
right.
for the Demons movie with the guest Tad, so like I was just gonna take it easy on this one. Like, I've seen this one already. I've seen all of his movies. I've heard his CDs before. And I was just going to take it easy and enjoy my life. But no. I thought that this was, like, the perfect excuse to just listen to all of his... Just deep dive into Rob Zombie. I've never done that before. So I went through... like I said, I listened to all of his albums. And watched all of his films, and I ranked them all.
Oh, shit.
According to what I think. I'll kick off with the albums. In order, in my order, we have Hellbilly Deluxe.
Wait, what order? Going from bottom to top?
Yes. Okay. We're going to go from one...
Hellbilly Deluxe is your... Or Hellbilly Deluxe is your top.
Hellbilly Deluxe is tops. That of Rob Zombie and White Zombie, because I mix both of them in here. Because it's basically the same fucking thing.
Wait, you don't have no... Okay.
See, Hellbilly Deluxe is about the only one I have.
Yeah, and I got White Zombie, more human one.
I guess the Thundercat or Thunder something.
Thunderkiss 65.
That one I've heard.
The Thundercat.
I sound like I know everything about Rob Zombie, but this is just only because
this is last week.
This is only from the last week, guys.
And which one had Never Gonna Stop Me?
Well, so that was Sinister Urge.
Okay.
We're gonna go Hellbilly Deluxe, number one. That's my favorite. And then White Zombie's Astro Creep. Which has more human than human on it for Tony.
Okay.
And then actually that one has my favorite song of White Zombies on there, which is Supercharger Heaven. That was the first song of White Zombie that I ever heard. It was back in fifth grade because I saw the movie Judge Dredd, and that was in it. And like I never like really got before that. I mean, fifth grade, like I'd never gotten to like rock music and stuff like that before. This like it was like the whole. So I got to give props to White Zombie band. Like this opened up the doors for me basically into like all this other music, like guitar music and shit like that, just crazy shit. From Astro Creep in number two spot, we go to number three, Sinister Urge. And then after that, these titles get fucking crazy, by the way, guys, from here on out. You ready for these? Number four, Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor.
Love it.
Yep.
And then next in number five, we've got another White Zombie record is La Sexorcisto.
Sounds gross.
And that has Abe, that has the Thunder Kiss 65 on it.
Okay.
And then next, we're going to go with Hellbilly Deluxe 2. They made a second one.
Okay.
I didn't know a lot of this because I haven't listened to his music in fucking years, man. So I didn't even know some of these CDs like that one. I didn't know that he made a second one. And then from there we go to Electric Warlock Acid Witch Satanic Orgy Celebration Dispenser.
That's the album title?
That's the album title.
That sounds like a Rob Zombie album. That like sounds, based off of what I've seen, his dialogue in his movies, that makes sense.
That makes sense. And then next is, oh my God, this CD, because after his first two of the solo ones, he tried to just like get away from like the theatrical rock, you know what I mean? And just do like a straight rock album.
Mm-hmm.
Educated Horses. Fucking sucks, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he needs to just stick to that like theatrical, like
over the top
yeah. Like over the top guitars and like lyrics and stuff like that, but he drifted away from that. And then the last three guys suck. Like big time. They're White Zombie's first three CDs.
Oh, okay.
I'd never listened to these before. The next one in order, it'd be Make Them Die Slowly is the title, and then the next one is Soul Crusher, and then their first CD is Dead Last of White Zombies. It's called Psycho Head Blowout. And in an interview that I listened to him, he's talking on there about White Zombies, their beginnings and stuff, and he said in the interview that when they formed White Zombie, none of them knew how to write songs or even play their fucking instruments. So they were just like
noise.
Yeah, they were just making noise and discovering how to do, you know, like, and trying to make sense. And you can fucking tell on these first like three White Zombie albums, like they don't know what the fuck they're doing, man.
Awesome.
They suck. So we'll go with so that's albums, and then films. This is mine in order. Did anybody else do this?
Yeah.
I can attempt.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So in order for me, it goes 31 is my tops. I like that movie a lot, guys. 31, then Devil's Rejects, then Lords of Salem, then Halloween, and then the cartoon. Haunted World of El Super Bisto. I'd never seen that before this week, and that was fucking pretty fun. And then next, House of a Thousand Corpses, then Three from Hell, and then absolutely last, Halloween 2.
I got the a friend of our show, Tad Good. He didn't show his list. You want me to go through that?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Number one, Devil Rejects. Number two, Lord of Salem. And then House of a Thousand Corpses. And then Halloween, and then Halloween 2.
Really?
After that.
Okay.
And then El Bisto, and then 31, and then Dead Last, Three from Hell.
Three from Hell.
If I had to give it an order, I would say, I can't speak for a lot of them because it's been so fucking long. Like Lords of Salem, I want to give it another rewatch. This one actually is going to be a little bit higher just because I'm rewatching it. I actually liked it a little bit more.
Did you?
I did, yes. Okay. But okay. I would go Devils is the best. House of a Thousand Corpses would be second. And then this one would be third. But again, I need to watch El Super Bisto again. I need to watch 30. I've never seen 31. Halloween's, I haven't seen them since theaters. So these are the only three that I've watched like many times. And I can rate them justly.
But I feel like my list is so much different than your guys's.
Oh.
because it goes, I haven't watched, like, just like Abe said, there's some that I haven't watched in a long time, like Bisto and stuff.
Yeah.
But the ones that I do remember, Halloween's in order, okay, then House of a Thousand, Devil's Rejects, Three from Hell, mm-hmm. and then, Lords of Salem is dead last. I'll watch anything else in the world before I watch that again. Like,
yeah.
Hate it. So, what's my list is way different.
What's your guidance? You have a list?
Mine's pretty similar to yours, Ashley.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I would say Three from Hell is going to be up there with, like, Devil's Rejects and stuff, because I actually fairly, like, I liked it.
I liked it, too. I think this is a good movie.
But I do think that, like, House from a Thousand Corpses doesn't match, like, the rest of that storyline, so I don't kind of group those together anymore.
Yeah.
But. House of a Thousand Corpses is just my favorite. And then Halloween. And I don't remember Halloween 2 that much, but I do remember being a little disappointed. So I'm going to have to go House of a Thousand Corpses, Halloween 31, then Devil's Rejects, then I remember liking El Super Bisto quite a bit, and then probably Three from Hell. And then I just don't remember Halloween 2. And then Lords of Salem, yeah, we all watched that together in Oregon, and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't my thing, I guess. And I wanted to, because I love Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah.
I always look forward to when the new Rob Zombie movie's coming out. I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got my list.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Number one, El Bisto.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Number two going to be Rejects. And then it's going to be Halloween. And then Lords of Salem. And then the House of Thousand Corpses, 31. Halloween 2. And then last, Three from Hell.
God, you liked Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Lords of Salem too.
See, I want to rewatch it because I feel like I'd like it more.
I feel like
my expectations were all fuckered up with that one. Like, I was expecting completely different movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Because one time I turned it, I don't know if you remember this, but like, I turned it on and like a few minutes in, I'm like, nope, I'm still not ready. I'm not ready for this dark, like, satanic shit right now. 100%. Like, I just can't handle it.
Oh, it makes me feel so dirty.
Yeah.
I watched Lords of Salem with Brittany, who was on our old podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And gets
Did
very
she love it?
No.
Okay, thank God. Oh, I was about to be God. Like, I don't know Brittany, and she loved it.
If I remember right, there was a baby dying like first like 20 minutes of that movie.
Yeah, she's out.
It was almost as bad as watching The Stuff with her.
Really?
Oh, oh dude.
The Stuff is awesome.
Oh, The Stuff is great. She like I feel like didn't like me very much after we watched
I could totally
stuff.
See that. She's the type to hold it against you for a bit.
She's 100%. A grudge holder.
Shout out to Brittany.
What's up, Brittany? You're the best.
What up, Britt?
Should we get to the kill count?
Let's try. Let's throw out the kill count there.
So our current kill count from the movies we watch, we've watched 92 people die.
Which half of those came from the 2 weeks ago episode, Demons.
Yeah.
Anybody have a guess on how many?
Die in this one.
7 or 8.
23.
I'm going to go with 13 because that's how many people die in Tremors.
41.
What?
Wow.
Damn.
Oh, I forgot about the fucking battle at the end.
Yeah.
That was
true.
That was dumb of
me. And I was never really clear how many were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many of those demon
and
bastards.
So there's 41 in this?
41.
41's not bad.
Shit.
Yeah. Almost
so basically,
41.
Our like 2/3 of our count came from two movies.
From two movies.
That's
so
fucked
our
up.
New count is 133.
Nice.
Okay. And that's, what, are we up to 5 movies now?
5,
the podcast?
And, you know, we did not ask, but our guest favorite movies. We should never ask.
Oh shit! Like just overall.
Yeah, because we got Tad.
Okay. Is that gonna be a new thing whenever we have a guest
That's
on?
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should now.
I like it. What you guys
put you on the spot?
Movies?
Your favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, and go.
Probably. Well, at least one of them is The Breakfast Club. I
cute.
Love
it.
Classic.
Love
it.
It's just it's yeah. Cool. It's just a classic. It's cute. That's probably one of them.
I like it. Jurassic Park.
Jurassic
Park?
Nice. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why we have dinosaurs.
How amazing was it to see that in theaters?
Oh, my God.
It
was
amazing.
Whenever we went and watched it in Oregon,
yeah.
I had to go see it. But I saw it 5 times originally when
I
was
you didn't have my experience for theaters or band from... life.
No, because back in 93 when it came out, I saw it twice at the theaters and then once at the drive-in. So
I saw it at a theater and once at the drive-in.
Yeah.
Drive-in would be cool. That'd be cool.
It was cool. And it was even better because right in front of, or no, right behind us, there was a truck and with a couple in it, in the bed of it, just watching the movie. But halfway through the movie, they start fucking. And me and my brothers, we're all like staring, watching them have sex. And then my dad sees what we're doing and he just turns around and he's like, boys, don't be creepy. You don't stare. You just take quick peeks.
like I've been doing this whole time.
Awesome.
So that's a good kill count. I like that.
Yeah.
What'd you say? 131 we're up to?
133.
Damn. All right. Ratings?
Okay.
You want me to start us off?
All right.
Tone. I already got it down.
Tone, kick us
off. I want to see this faces anyway.
Do it.
I give this a 0.
Whoa.
Damn. Oh, there was nothing redeemable
you
in this movie.
You give it a 0?
And was this your least favorite Rob Zombie movie?
Yeah. I did not have any fun watching this.
Interesting. Damn.
What's worse, this or Dogtooth?
He picked Dogtooth.
I know, so he had to like it.
Yeah.
This was worse than Dogtooth.
It's weird because it's like the exact, because Dogtooth, when I originally watched that, I liked it.
Me too. But then
and then I rewatched it, I hated it. This one's the other way around.
But yeah, you and I had the same
feeling. First watched it, it was like before there was tons of movies out and like shock value in indie movies were just like all the rage.
Because you and I had the same feeling, like, oh no, what did I do? Why did I pick this?
Yeah.
Because originally I was like, this would be good to talk about.
As we were rewatching, I don't know if it was the group setting or what. That movie's not made for a group watch.
No,
that's something you watch like by yourself.
I know,
yourself,
but you can see why I would think that would be a good conversation.
No, agreed. Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Interesting.
But from my level of Devil Rejects is high, and then like my expectation might have been too high, but I, you know, and then Otis not being in it, unfortunately.
You mean Spalding?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. Spalding. But yeah, I was just not happy with
There was definitely times so I'm like, what is the point of this scene in a
and
way?
And it's just like day one, and I just nothing redeemable for
me. Was this your first time watching it?
Yes.
I recommend watching it again at some point
and
revisit. Because I felt the same exact when I first watched this, and I watched like some crazy, we watched it on her, what's the thing called? Fire Stick. Amazon Fire Stick. And it was like some really, really crappy viewing. And it was like really horrible quality, and I just remember being so disappointed.
Yeah,
my expectations were fucking thrown off, just like with House or with Lords of Salem.
Yeah,
and then I rewatched it, and I actually liked it.
Probably will go up next time I watch it, but you know.
Yeah.
At this viewing, I was not happy.
Understandable, Ashlyn. What was yours?
I like to go last.
You like to go last? Yeah. Okay. I will go then. I feel like there was just so many recycled things from Devil's Rejects. For example, a group of four is tormented by two of the clan. Happened exactly in Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Otis kills a random stranger that shows up. Happened in Devil's Rejects.
Yep.
A cop has a weird breakdown / psych up moment. Devil's Rejects.
Yep.
They find a brief safe haven with hookers run by a concentric character with a bizarre sidekick. Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
A party scene right before the big climax. Devil's Rejects. They get betrayed by the owner of the safe haven. They get fucked up by a family member from that the rejects have fucked over. So I feel like literally this movie is Devil's Rejects if Sid Haig wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I felt like when I watched it. Overall, though, I did enjoy this. It was my second viewing. Loved it a lot more than the first one, for sure. I just want to know what the other option would have been.
That's did I want to see
oh, so I want to give it, I will give it 2.
And I want to see that slapstick comedy fix.
Yeah, that would be fun, Town. Justin, what'd you think?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3. I'll give it a 3 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Because I'd have to give Lords of Salem a 1. And it's way better than that. So it can't be a 2.
So makes sense.
Must be a 3. Yeah.
You know you can go up to 5.
Wow.
Definitely.
Stevie, what do you think?
I would say it's a 4. It's like, it's not excellent, but it's like not, I wouldn't say it's a 3.
A little better than that.
Just a little bit better than that.
Nice.
But you know what? If you go 1, we will have a 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Or if you go with a 5 and she goes with 1, that would be
Actually,
no pressure.
I'm going to go with a 2.5 out of 5 machetes. 2.5. The deaths are fucking brutal. Just like, and one of the things that I love about Rob Zombie movies is, I mean, his death scenes, they are fucking brutal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you think back, if you guys remember the first Halloween movie that he did, and even the second one too, but I mean, oh my god, yeah. He knows how
he does.
He knows how to kill.
He knows how to kill a motherfucker on camera, man.
Like the baby when she was going to town on that chick stabbing her
and naked.
That one time when I can't remember. Oh, it was the nurse maybe when she stabbed her in the neck and she was twisting the knife around.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, like I felt those stabbings. Like I felt it in my body.
Yeah.
Mostly in movies, you just see them stabbing. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool looking. But no, this one, it's like you fucking feel it.
Yep.
It's brutal.
No, and that's why I like Rob Zombie death scenes, is because you feel every stab in his.
Well, he's a fan of horror.
I mean, you can
tell.
Yeah, oh, yeah. 100%.
You guys remember MTV Cribs?
His episode was the best.
Because it was the all horror memorabilia. Oh. And
his walk-in closets, where like, he has a room full of VHSs, a room full of DVDs, a room full of Betamaxes.
Yep. Yep.
It's just like fucking sweet.
Mm-hmm. He, like I said, just brutal death scenes. Here's what I don't like about Rob Zombie movies, though. Dialogue.
Yeah.
He cannot write dialogue.
And I never noticed it. Like,
no.
There was always something about House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil of Rejects, and this movie, obviously, that I did not like. And I wasn't sure, like, what it was. Like, what is this off with this movie? I want to love it so much more than I do.
That's what
and
it is.
And then I heard you and Tad talking, and I'm like, holy shit, they're awkward. The dialogue lines are so fucking weird sometimes.
So fucking weird. I love Rob Zombie. I love Rob Zombie as an entertainer.
Yeah.
I don't love everything he does.
Right.
But I love him as an entertainer. And I really wish that he would try, like, if he's not going to co-write with somebody, maybe let somebody else do the script and then he can direct it.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing.
I'd like to see him do that. But also in different genres.
Yeah.
And he's tried to make movies in other genres. It just seems like the only money that people will give him for a movie budget is for horror movies. Because a couple years ago, he was talking in interviews about wanting to make this Groucho Marx movie biography thing, but in the vein of like Ed Wood.
Oh, yeah,
the movie Ed Wood.
I think there is an Academy Award winning movie he got inside him if given the chance.
See, like a drama, because he is a good director. The Groucho Marx, and then he also tried a couple years ago apparently to make a hockey movie.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to expand out of any way possible, man. Just get out of horror for a little bit, and then when you come back from taking your little hiatus from horror, I feel like it's going to be one of the best horror movies that you've seen. I think he could do that.
He should need to challenge himself.
Yeah, he needs a challenge. I don't feel like, because from what this past week, I told you I watched all of his movies, almost in order. And he is getting better as a filmmaker, but the storyteller, the dialogue mainly, it still feels like all of his movies feel like they were written when he was 13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trying to be a Tarantino dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Long sentences.
Exactly. 13-year-old trying to be Tarantino.
Yeah.
Just need to be himself and just let it happen.
Yeah, let it happen. So I want him to do that, or, you know, it'd be cool, make a movie in the vein of like a 50s horror movie.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
That'd be tight.
See, I think he's better off as a stylized filmmaker. Like, House of a Thousand Corpses, I just loved how he was forced into these corners and had to make them badass. So, like, he had all this home shot footage that he just tweaked and put special effects on, and I feel like he's more of a stylized director, and that would be really cool to see in that old school style.
Because much as I did not like this, I do love Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah, I do too, as a performer, as an entertainer.
Well, he's a great artist too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a great artist.
Like Living Dead Gold, favorite song.
Also with the dialogue, characters. It seems like Rob Zombie only knows how to write two characters. One is the biggest smartass ever, Like, either each of his characters are either the biggest smartass ever that always has the best quip to say right at the right time, or it's a fucking idiot. Like, that's the only, like, everybody in his movies are one of those two things, and
like,
that's it.
And, like, even in this movie, I had no idea after watching, like, who he killed for the war. Like, from an, you know, like, that's why I wanted, if you just could, like, expand on that more, he's going to be unstoppable.
Exactly. Unstoppable. Like Rob Zombie could be, like, one of the best.
Yeah.
But it's like he's stuck or something. And I hate to see it, like, because I, like I said, I feel like if he went and expanded himself, which I know he's trying to do or whatever, but like if he went and did that and then came back, he'd make a masterpiece.
Yes, he has so many masterpieces in him. I know.
But yeah, like I said, I give this 2.5 out of 5. My biggest complaint about this movie specifically, there's two fucking movies in there. This is two movies. They should have made two movies out of it, which is kind of what you were saying. Like you really you didn't like the first half of it.
The breaking out of the prison.
Yeah, but then the second half, because that's a completely different movie. They should have just made the movie about the prison break and all that shit, being on the run, and then made a fourth one about them in Mexico because that was awesome. Like the whole second half of the movie was awesome. So that's my biggest complaint with this movie specifically, besides like the character and the dialogue and shit that I said. But yeah, this specifically. So, all right, now I'm done rambling. Ashlyn, hit us with a rating.
4.5 machetes.
What?
Damn. Nice. Yes.
I really like this movie. It's really good. I had a couple complaints, obviously, that we already talked about, but like all in all, I enjoyed it. I don't care. And Mexico. Just everything about it. Loved it. Yeah. Everything. Even the shitty dialogue. The weird boobs. I'm into it.
I'm down. Sebastian. You know I'm really down for some weird boobs.
Oh. No, you're supposed to like good boobs.
Let the record state that Ashlyn loved the weird boobs in this movie.
Yeah. Fine. They were weird.
Did you go to...
What?
Okay.
Did you go to Cumtown is what he was going to ask.
Yeah, he was going to ask that.
No,
yep.
I don't ever go
Thank
to
you.
Cumtown.
Thank you, Brett. But I stopped myself.
I go to Cumtown a lot.
Y'all nasty.
Did you go to Cumtown on this?
No, go away.
And you went through all of Zombie's discography and stuff. Did you watch Beavis and Butthead Do America and the little acid trip scene?
I didn't. No, I didn't watch it. I did listen to his, I forget what his song from that was, but I totally listened to the song.
I'm pretty sure he did the animation in that.
Yeah, he did that animation scene. Yeah, which was fucking tight. Yeah. That was one of the best parts of that Beavis and Butthead Do America movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was
tripping on the whatever the hell they were, cactus.
So, any last thoughts from anybody?
No. Make another movie.
Make
another movie.
Keep going.
Yeah. Make a Ninja Turtle movie. See where that, like, or at least some sort of comic book.
Like an R-rated Turtles movie?
Like an homage to the original, because the original comics were supposed to be brutal as shit.
Exactly. And Rob, we already know, Rob Zombie can do fucking, he can do brutal.
So would you want live action or animated?
Live action.
Live action.
Oh, live action for sure.
Yeah. Nice. But with no CGI.
Oh, yeah.
No CGI on it at all.
We'd like to thank Justin and Stevie for being our guest. Do you guys have anything to plug?
Justin co-wrote a book, The Litter Monster of Lake Geode, which is in the Iowa Grindhouse, a book available on Amazon.com.
You should leave a link.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys had a good time.
Boom.
Yes, awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, that was
fun. We're never going to have you ever again.
Probably not.
Tony, be nice.
I mean, you know that we're going to have him like.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
For a 2.5 out of 5 machetes movie, that was pretty good.
I like the range.
Yeah.
Thanks. Subscribe, like.
Like, subscribe, and don't forget to give us 5 stars on iTunes.